One of the reasons why I'm praying for these people in particular is because I know their circumstances is so overwhelming that Satan is using those circumstances to attack them. As a matter of fact, one of my texts this week to somebody I'm praying for, I said to them in my text, if you could see my thoughts and my prayers, you would see me fighting one-on-one with Satan to save you. I've been doing a series on freedom from fear, and one of the things that I'm going to talk about today is fear of inadequacy. Anybody in here ever felt inadequate about something? Yeah, there's a lot of things I feel inadequate about, but it's really kind of funny to me because all week long I've been preparing for this sermon, and I got up this morning and guess what I felt? Inadequate. And that's kind of the way it goes. No matter what it is you're doing, from time to time we feel inadequate. It may be that we're trying something new. It may be that we're trying something that we fear. And I can tell you that fear is one of the things that cripples us. But I want you to look at the scriptures that were read for you just a few moments ago. One in particular, Ephesians chapter 1, and I want you to look at verse 18. Because verse 18, I want you to see this. I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order that you may the hope which he has called you, the riches of his glorious inheritance in his holy people. And then it says, and his incomparable power for us who believe. You're going to feel inadequate at times. That's just a part of life. It doesn't matter who you are, but when you feel inadequate, you need to remember that we, those of us who believe, those of us who are followers of Christ, we have a power that the rest of the world doesn't have. Amen? And when you realize you have that power, you can live on a different plane. I know growing up, I got to tell you, I had a rough time growing up. I weighed about 50 pounds soaking wet. I was as skinny as I could be, and the kids made fun of me. I wasn't very strong. I wasn't coordinated. You know, I believe I got to be 6'3 in about 3 months, and when your body does that to you, you walk like a giraffe, okay? You just try to figure it out. So I wasn't coordinated. I couldn't play sports. My older brother was this huge guy. He was playing football, and they were all talking about Big Jim Farr. And he was a big guy because he beat me up a lot, so I know he was a big guy. And then my younger brother didn't grow up the same way I did. He was strong, good-looking kid, and here I was stuck in the middle of these two guys, both athletics, both could do things, and I felt inadequate. And I had a father, and my father was this tremendous preacher. And we would go to Bible class. From time to time, a Bible class teacher could not be in the room with us for whatever reason. They were sick or whatever. And my dad would substitute. And my dad would come into the room and he would say, all right, take out your Bibles. And we would take out our Bibles. And he would quote scripture and we would make sure he got it right. But one of the things that I really liked that I thought was so interesting is we could read just about any passage in the Bible and he could tell us where it was from. I mean, it's just amazing Bible mind. And so as I got older and I wanted to be a Christian, I could not reach his level. Anybody else feel like that? Yeah, raise your hand if you ever feel like that, because I think all of us from time to time feel inadequate in what we're doing. It doesn't matter whether we're trying something new, whether we're trying to talk to people. How many of you in here ever had a sales job? Yeah, a few of you in here, oh my goodness, I remember my very first sales job. I felt so inadequate. The worst sales job I ever had was I was talking to doctors and trying to get them to use me as a recruiter for them. and they would talk to me in medical terms, and I had to say, because I had no idea what they were talking about. But I got through it. But one of the things I want to tell you today is whatever it is that you're going through right now, if you feel inadequate, you have a power that is greater than yourself. If you look at this, at your sermon notes, for the Spirit God gave us does not make us timid, but gives us power, love, and self-discipline. What I want you to see in your notes, that man has been feeling inadequate since the beginning of time. Since the very beginning of time, man has been feeling inadequate. It happened in the Garden of Eden with Adam and Eve when they ate of the tree. And once they ate of the tree, they got to feeling inadequate. And whenever you feel inadequate, there's three things that you do. The very first thing that you do is you cover up. You cover up. That's what they wanted to do, is they got some leaves and they tried to cover themselves. And we do the same thing today. For those of you who know me, I had some surgery on my nose. They've been working on my nose, trying to get it to look halfway decent. And it's looking pretty good now, but there's this red streak right here. And y'all can look closer when you get closer to me, so you can go home and make fun of me when I can't hear you. But I have this little red streak right here, and I came out this morning, and I looked at Nancy, and I said, how bad does this look? And she looks at me, and she says, you want some cover makeup? And for one second, I almost got some. She says, I can blend it in there. But that's our tendency, isn't it? Amen? Amen? We want to cover up. We want to cover up. We do that. I buy shirts that are a little bigger than me, so they make me look skinny. Because I want to cover up what? The fat. We have that tendency. We feel inadequate, so we want to cover up. The second thing we do is we hide out. Adam and Eve did this. They were hiding from God. If you look at the scripture there, you can read the story and you can see hide out. They hid in the bushes. And we've got to remember that. They hid in the bushes. We may hide behind work. I know from time to time, people that I run into, they work all the time because they want to hide the inadequacy in another area of their life. You may hide in your hobbies. You may hide in TV, watching TV, but we want to hide out. And the worst thing that we can do is we put down. We become critical, or we blame others for our inadequacy. I don't think that we do it intentionally, but that's something that happens to us from time to time. When we're feeling inadequate about something, we blame other people. Or if we're inadequate about it, you know what I think is hilarious? Is people who have never, ever preached a sermon in their life coming up to me and telling me how I should preach. I think that's hilarious. I mean, I listen and I'm kind, and I, if they've got a good comment, I will take it on board. But you know, the thing of it is there's a lot of people out there that are critical of others, and it's something they can't do themselves. And we've got to recognize that. So how do we overcome this fear of inadequacy? If I am feeling inadequate, how do I overcome that? Well, in your notes, we don't overcome our inadequacy by success, but how I respond to difficult circumstances. It doesn't happen because I am successful, but because of how I respond to the difficult circumstances. And all of you in here have known people, either actors or performers or somebody that is famous that has gone down, spiraled down. They have been a big success, but they have spiraled down. I remember John Belushi, John Candy, all of these people that I loved as comedians and actors, and they spiraled out of control because they felt inadequate. As a matter of fact, there are older actors that have come out and said, I have become an alcoholic or a drug addict or whatever it is because of the fact that I feel inadequate, and these people are successful in their lives. So you're not going to overcome your inadequacy by successes in your life. You're actually going to overcome your inadequacy. And look at verse 1. I've got the answer here. Our incurable weakness with dependence. Our incurable weakness with dependence. You see, all of us in here have limitations. It doesn't matter how strong you are, you're only that strong. You can't be any stronger than that. It doesn't matter how smart you are, your smartness has limitations. It doesn't matter how much you know, there is a limit to it. So all of us in here have weaknesses in some areas of our life. And the only way to overcome those weaknesses is through a dependency on God. Look at what 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 9 through 10. And this is Paul's talking about his thorn in the flesh. He said, but he said to me, by the way, if you're familiar with Paul's thorn in the flesh, don't come up to me after worship and tell me what you think it is, okay? Because I've already heard it all. The one that I thought was the best was the guy that came up to me, and he and his wife were having trouble, and he looked at me and he said to me, I know what Paul's thorn in the flesh was. That man was married. He had to have a wife. I don't think that had anything to do with it, okay? Could have been his eyes. I think sometimes Paul's thorn in the flesh was other church members, but I'm not going to say what their names are, okay? But anyway, he says, and he's asking God to have that removed. But God said to me, my grace is sufficient for you. And underline these words, for my power is made perfect in weakness. My power is made perfect in weakness. He goes on to say, therefore I will boast all the more gladly about my weakness so that Christ's power may rest on me. That is why, for Christ's sake, I delight in weakness, in insults, in hardship, in persecutions, in difficulties. For when I am weak, then I am strong. I know all of us in here from time to time. It may be because of circumstances that you're in. It may be because of a sermon that you've heard. It may very well be because you've spent time alone with God. But all of us in here from time to time want to do something to give God glory. Amen? And a lot of times we stop because of our inadequacy. And my question for you right now is, when is the last time you thought about doing something for God that you could only do with God's help? Because that's what this is all about. Our inadequacy, we're going to have them. But you know what? We have a God that is greater than anything we can even imagine. Well, sometimes when I'm praying, especially when I'm praying publicly, I try to give God the honor and the glory and the praise that He is due. And as I am praying and I am searching for words and I'm using all the words that the Bible uses about God, about Him being an awesome God, about Him being a holy God, about Him being a merciful God, and I just go down the list. But as I get down the list, I realize my words are inadequate to reveal who God really is. And the only way for us to show who God really is when we take on something that is bigger than ourselves, that can only be accomplished with God's help. And when was the last time that I did something that I needed God's help for? You see, for most of us, what we try to do, whether it's conquer sin, whether it's live a godly life. This past week, I'm going to tell you, I don't know what happened to me, but there were 2 days this past week that I was talking pretty badly to drivers around me. I was getting frustrated, and I was getting frustrated over things that normally don't frustrate me that bad. But have you ever been going down the road and the speed limit's 45 and there's two lanes and both cars want to stay like this doing 35? Anybody else in here get frustrated with that? Thank you, brothers, for raising your hands and sister for raising your hands. The rest of you are liars. Okay? You can act like a good Christian while you're in here, but I've seen you out on the road. Okay? God's watching you. But I mean, I'm getting frustrated over different things that are happening, and I'm thinking to myself, why am I so frustrated? And it was because I was driving with just me in the car. You know why I realized it was just me in the car? I drive by myself all the time because I had left God at home. You see, I can drive all over Tampa all day long and not get upset and not get riled up about the way people do things, people coming over on me and things like that, when God's in the car with me. But when I try to do it on my own, when I try to overcome my own sin on my own, when I try to live this life on my own and be self-sufficient, I fail. And let me explain this to you. You will too. God did not intend for you to live the Christian life alone. He intended for you to live the Christian life in community and in fellowship with Him. And when you're alone, you're not alone because you're in fellowship with God. Look at what the Scripture says here in Proverbs chapter 10 and verse 8. The latter part of the verse, this comes from the Living Bible. It says, but the self-sufficient fools fall flat on his face. And that's what I do. Well, how do you get there? How do I get this where I am dependent on God? I think the very first place that you start is worship. I think in coming in here, and I think sometimes when we come into worship, we think, well, it's about somebody else praying, it's about somebody else singing, it's about somebody else reading scriptures, somebody else preaching. But when you come in here on Sunday morning to worship, whether it is the singing, whether it is the prayer, whether it is communion, whether it is scripture reading, whether it is preaching, all of it you need to be involved in and you need to take it in. Monty Betts and I were joking today. He was in class this morning and his microphone fell off his ear. And it went crashing down, interrupted class. It was a debacle. And he insinuated that I don't drop my mic because my ears are bigger than his. And I did a quick comparison. We have about the same size ears. So, Monty, there's something else going on here. But then he said to me, he said, don't you wish that when you were preaching, people had bigger ears so they'd hear you? And I thought about it real quickly, and I thought, no, I don't wish they had bigger ears. What I wish is they had a heart that was listening. Because the things that I'm teaching you each week is not from Neil Farr. It is from the most powerful God that created you, that created this earth, that deserves all glory and praise, and He has written us His word so that we might have life and have it to the abundant. But we sit here and we think, we got it all together because we haven't messed up this week. We haven't been like Neil Farr and yelled at other drivers. We haven't done this or we haven't done that. And we come in here and we think, I am okay. Psalm says, I have seen you in the sanctuary and beheld your power and glory. When you come in here on Sunday morning, do you walk out of here and say, I have seen you in the sanctuary and I have beheld your power and your glory? Or do you walk out of here like you always do? The second thing, we respond, or we can overcome our inadequacy with unreasonable people, with my adequacy, with my adequacy. You see, there's some people on this earth that are kind of like heavenly sandpaper. That's just the best way to put it. I'm going to be a little graphic, and I apologize if I offend you, but when they cut the cancer out of my nose, I had a nice little scar right here, and then I went back in after everything had kind of healed up, and I thought it was looking pretty good. I had a little scar there, but no big deal. And they took a block, a sanding block, if you will, because that's what it felt like, and rubbed it up and down my nose to get rid of the scar. Yeah, it was painful. But when they finished, my nose is smooth. No more scar. It just really kind of fixed it up. Now, in a few weeks, I'll be more handsome than I ever was. But I had to go through that process. And God has put some people in your life that are like heavenly sanding blocks. Because you got some rough edges. You got some scars. And God brings those people in your life, and He tests you with those people. There are some people in this church that God is testing you with right now. Amen? Don't look at them. That's not nice. That's not the way we do things here. We love each other. We're not going to look and point. But the thing of it is, there are some people like that. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 2. These are selfish people that you just got to deal with them. It says, be humble and gentle. Be patient with each other. And then underline these words, making allowance for each other's faults because of your love. This past week, we were driving down the road. And there was a tractor trailer that evidently had been on the road for quite a while. But as he was driving down the road, I went to pass him. And when I went to pass him, I noticed he was coming over. So I backed off a little bit, and then he got back in the lane, and I went around him. But guess what I did? I went way around him. Because I was making allowances for the fact that he was not keeping it in his lane. And we need to make allowances for people that we run into that don't keep it in their lane. Amen? We need to do that. And the reason why we need to do that is because guess what? From time to time, you get out of your lane too. And every time you get mad at somebody else, you need to think of the times that you've done the same thing. Look at what it says in Romans chapter 12. If it is possible, because I'm going to tell you, some people it's not possible. But as far as it depends on you, there's some people you're just not going, they're just not going to make life easy on you no matter what. But if it is possible, as far as it depends on you, underline those words, depends on you, not them, live at peace with everyone. Now, that does not mean that you have to give them whatever they ask, you have to do whatever they ask. That's not what it's talking about. We do not have to take things from people all the time and give them whatever they want and just be the loser and then be the winner. That's not what it's saying. What it is saying is even when they're unreasonable, you still love them. Write that down. Even when people are being unreasonable, you still love them. And the starting point for all of this is God's love for you. You see, when we realize how much God loves us, that's when we're most God-like, is when we love others the way God loves them. And a lot of us, we love our family. I mean, I've got two boys and a daughter-in-law and hopefully a future daughter-in-law before long. And I love them. My younger son just bought a house and he says, Dad, I got some projects. And you know what? Because I love him, I'm looking forward to doing some projects with him. Nancy, when I agreed to do that for him, she looks at me and, when are you doing the projects I have for you? Every once in a while, she gets a little feisty. I know she looks all Christian up here, but at home, sometimes, not often, but sometimes. But the thing of it is, it's one thing to love your family, it's one thing to love those that are close to you, but do you love those that are unreasonable? Oh, that's when you've got the test of your Christianity. The starting point for that is God's love for you. When you remember God's love for you, you will be able to love others. So that Christ may dwell in your heart through faith, I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have the power together with the Lord's holy people to grasp how wide and how long and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know that this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled with the measure of all the fullness of God. How many of you in here have ever been to the Grand Canyon? Raise your hand. Oh, wow, a lot of you. That is awesome. We went several years ago, me and Nancy and the boys. We went for a trip. Actually, I'm going to just tell you, Connie Eckstein was the one that helped us do this trip. She had a timeshare, and she let us use her timeshare over there, and we went over to Flagstaff. We saw the Grand Canyon, and before we went, you know what I did? I got online, and I looked at pictures. I looked at pictures because I figured I'm going to be at the Grand Canyon. I want to know what I'm going to be seeing before I get there. And you know what I realized? Is there's no picture that you can take that will encompass the Grand Canyon. There's no picture. And that's what Paul's writing here when he's talking about God's love for you, is it's so wide, it's so deep, it's so high, it is just hard to imagine. And when you talk about the Grand Canyon to somebody that's never been, there's no words to describe it. You have to experience it in order to know it. And that's what he's saying here. Number three, impossible circumstances with faith. We can overcome our impossible circumstances with faith. When we're feeling inadequate, when the situation is beyond our control, we need to have faith. One of the things that I've been doing here this past week or so is I've been spending a lot of time in prayer. Prayer for those that are hurting, prayer for those that are dealing with things. And I'm going to tell you right now that the people that I'm praying for are in impossible circumstances. And one of the reasons why I'm praying for these people in particular is because I know their circumstances is so overwhelming that Satan is using those circumstances to attack them. As a matter of fact, one of my texts this week to somebody I'm praying for, I said to them in my text, if you could see my thoughts and my prayers, you would see me fighting one-on-one with Satan to save you. Because I know that faith is the only way to get through impossible circumstances. Look at what it says in Luke chapter 1 and verse 37. God can do anything. God can do anything. Doesn't mean He will, but He can. I remember when my kids were little and they had a neighbor boy and his bike broke. And they told the neighbor boy, bring it over to my dad. He can fix anything. I'm like, oh, now the whole neighborhood knows. But the other side of that is when my kids knew I could do something, but they didn't ask for my help. They didn't ask for my help. One of the funniest stories is Tyler wanted to dig a hole. He was maybe 8. Skinny little kid just like his dad. But he had such a zest for life when he was little. He still does. And he got out there and he got that shovel and it was taller than he was. And he was grabbing it down there and he was pushing it in and he'd get about a teaspoonful of dirt on there and he'd throw it aside. And then he'd get another and I'm standing there and I'm watching him and he's starting to sweat. And I looked at him and I said, you need some help? He said, nope. Got it, Dad. I kept watching him. And after about what seemed like 15 minutes, couldn't have been more than 5, but it probably seemed like an hour to him, he got a little hole about that big. And he looked at me and he said, Dad, could you just do one? And I got that shovel and I landed on it with all 200 pounds and I hit that hole and the dirt flipped up. And he goes, wow, Dad, you're incredible. There have been so many times in my life that God has come in and I have worked so hard to try to make something happen. And God's come in and He stepped on that shovel and He threw that dirt out. And all I could say is, wow, God, You're incredible. Luke chapter 18, verse 27, these things are impossible for people, but are possible for God. Jesus asked them, Mark 4:40, why were you so fearful? Don't you even yet have confidence in me? As a kid, one of my favorite stories was the feeding of the 5,000 and Jesus taking the fishes and the loaves and distributing it out, and they had all this left over, and I used to think that was just such a cool miracle because of that and everything. But the reality of that story now as an adult is God can take the little that I have and turn it into something big. And I want you this morning to think about the little that you have that God can turn into something big. The starting point for that, I believe, is to look at God's creation. You need to start looking at God's creation again. I know for some of you, it's the beach. You go to the beach and you feel like, wow, this is amazing. You look at all the water. You feel the sunshine. You get the sand between your toes. That's where you go and you can just go, wow, God, what a great creation. And then for others of you, and you know, Chris Kent and myself, we like the mountains. We like getting up on top of the mountains and looking out and feeling small. But you need to look at God's creation. Jeremiah said in 32 and verse 17, "Ah, sovereign Lord, you have made the heavens and the earth by your great power and outstretched arms. Nothing is too hard for you." In Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 20, "Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than we ask or imagine, according to his power that is work within us, to him be the glory in the church and Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen." If you walked in this morning feeling inadequate, you should walk out knowing that God's power is with you. Each Lord's Day, we sing an invitation song. We sing that invitation song. It's an opportunity for you to respond to your worship today. A lot of times people will think, A, it's a response to Neil's sermon, whether he did a good job, or B, he did a terrible job. Then that's how we decide whether we're going to keep the preacher. But the invitation has nothing to do with the preacher, keeping the preacher, or losing the preacher. What the invitation has to do is your response to God through your worship today. It may have been that a song that you've heard brought something to your heart, and you know there's changes you need to make. It may very well be that you heard a prayer that meant something to you, or it may have been that during communion you realized there were some relationships that you needed to fix. Or it may be in God's Word that you really needed His power, and the Word reminded you of that today. If you're here and you've never been buried with Christ in baptism, today is a good day to do it. If you're here and you want to know more about the church, today is a good day to ask. If you're here and you need prayers, today is a good day to get them. If you're here and you need to repent of sin, today is a wonderful day to repent. The lesson is yours as we stand and sing.